If you are anything like me, keeping track of your subscriptions feels like a full-time job. We've got gym memberships, streaming services, toilet paper deliveries, even cars now come with in-app purchases just to turn on heated seats. The average Aussie now spends nearly $80 per month on subscriptions. And what do we have to show for it? It's starting to feel like we've subscribed to everything but actually own nothing. And just last week, Microsoft apologised and agreed to refund around 2.7 million Australians after the consumer watchdog accused the company of misleading customers into staying on pricier subscription plans. So how do we steer clear of subscription traps? Are consumer protections keeping up? And are we heading towards a future where ownership of a thing is a thing of the past? I'd love to know your tips on how you keep track of your subscriptions or what it's taken to opt out of them. With me is Chandni Gupta, Deputy CEO and Digital Policy Director at the Consumer Policy Research Centre. Chandni, why does it feel like there is a subscription for everything these days?
Well, I think what it is that there is a monetization agenda across everything that we buy and everything that we use. We've gone from where businesses are trying to solve a product or create a product or service, and now moving more into where a monetization agenda is set and then the product is designed around it. And you're seeing that in the way businesses are then providing services, because you can no longer really know what the actual final value of a product is, because it keeps evolving over time and so does your cost.
Oh, okay. So I was going to say, what does it really matter? Like, if you're getting access to the product, does it matter if you own it or not? But what you're saying is that subscription models kind of hide what the value is.
To an extent, I think overall subscriptions are great because you can dip in and out, you can access when you want something and to what you want it for. I think the issue becomes is when it becomes really difficult to cancel. And that's what we've seen through our research, where we found 3 in 4 Australians have had some form of difficulty trying to cancel out of a subscription. And that's where this business model can get really problematic, because you go from a place where you're going, this is great, I'm using the service, but as soon as you decide you don't want it or need it, you should be able to get out of it as quickly as you got into it.
What is it about this moment in time that makes subscriptions so ubiquitous?
One of the things is, it's one is that monetization agenda that a lot of big businesses have moved into. The other is it's a bit of a chicken and egg. We've almost gotten used to subscriptions, but then there is the business models have then joined in to create these subscriptions. So you can literally create a subscription for anything, as you said, your gym memberships, your meal plans, to meditation, to even skincare you could have on subscription. It's a business model that is really revenue focused, and it means that you are able, as a consumer, you feel like, well, you're paying for what you need when you need it. Again, the problem becomes when you can't get out of it, when you no longer need it.
Can I just get a definition from you? You said it's a monetization model or it's profit focused. Isn't that what businesses have always been trying to do?
Yeah, definitely. But I think the issue becomes is when you are in this space where you're doing it through deceptive manipulative tactics, that's when it becomes a problematic. So businesses nowadays use a technique called dark patterns, and that's basically design features that are built into websites and apps purely to influence our decisions, our experiences. And this has been a phenomenon that's existed probably for the last 15-ish years. And what that means is for something like a subscription, it's really easy to join. It's almost frictionless. Mm. Yet it's so difficult to actually extract your way out of it. And so that business model is built around that. And we've seen examples where you can see that it actually costs more, but also it is generating more revenue purely by having these deceptive practices in place. So subscriptions itself aren't bad. It's the the whole journey around a subscription that can get problematic when you're no longer needing it.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor with Chandni Gupta, who's the Deputy CEO and Digital Policy Director at the Consumer Policy Research Centre, talking about subscriptions and how they can kind of trap you in. And it's very easy to sign up, but very, very difficult to sign out. Unsign, cancel them. Janice says, shop payment is accidental and easy to opt in, but very hard to get out. Can't stand it. I've recently, again, accidentally opted in. Another text says, cancelling a credit card does not actually cancel your subscription for some of the major software and service companies in Australia. As a small business owner, I had a staff member resign years ago, and it's taken me 2 years of fighting to get the subscriptions I'm paying for cancelled. The same thing happened with our household streaming subscriptions when my credit card expired. It's so easy to sign up to these things and so hard to cancel. The texter says, to avoid the risk of eternal zombie subscriptions, I use a prepaid gift card from one of the major credit card players so that when it's finished, it really is finished. As consumers, we need to get smarter. And I really think that consumer protection laws should not allow banks to do deals in their favour to have subscriptions persist past the cancellation of a card. Well, also with some subscription stories is Kirsten Drysdale, who's an independent journalist and host of The Internet Reviewed on YouTube. Kirsten, your parents got signed up for an unusual subscription.
Yeah, I was very surprised. Printer Ink. Which I thought was just ridiculous.
Who's printing things these days?
Who's printing enough?
Who even has a printer?
Yeah. To need a however monthly or quarterly delivery of a cartridge. I mean, I'm lucky to get through one in a year. It dries up before I can use it all. But I suppose that's the point from the business's point of view, right? The responsibility ends up on the consumer to stop paying them instead of, you know, going to the shop to buy a new one when they need it.
So how do you keep track of your subscriptions? Because you've got a few.
I was trying to work out how many. I think I've got dozens, some of which I appreciate more than others. I have to set myself a calendar alert to remind myself when a subscription is coming up that I intend on cancelling, because I'll often sign up for things, you know, intending to only use them for a short amount of time, but it's up to me to make sure I end the subscription before that time's up. So my hack is calendar reminders.
So can you talk me through what sort of rubrics you use to decide whether a subscription is worth the money or not?
I need to be sure that it's something I'm, you know, going to be using ongoing and getting the value out of. So something I recently signed up for, which I'm actually surprised I'm really enjoying, is a coffee bean delivery subscription from our local cafe. And it's working out really well for us because we consume those beans and the new fresh bag arrives just in time. And, you know, it saves me having to walk down to the cafe and buy them myself. So that one I'm happy with. It's often for me the streaming services that I, you know, I get really, really desperately wanting to watch one particular show. So I'll sign up, you know, and I'll pay for that month. But I need to be so strict and disciplined with myself to make sure I'm going to cancel it before I get charged for the next month once I've seen the thing I want to see.
On that, Kimmy on the text line says, my friend has a great trick to make cancelling a subscription easier. When she joins, she immediately cancels the subscription. This gives a period of time to use the service. And Kimmy says, I've tried it and it works really well. Have you ever done that, Kirsten?
Yes. Yep. I'll sign up to, you know, the kids will be desperate to see one particular movie. I'll sign up, we'll watch it, I'll cancel. But you do get, you know, you've paid for that 30 days, so you actually still have access for the 30 days. So, yeah, cancelling immediately is actually probably even better.
I'm pretty sure I signed up for one streaming service to watch a particular show and realised it wasn't even on the streamer anymore. It had been yanked off the week before.
No take backsies.
Another text says, something I read the other day as a response to the revenue-focused model, if buying is not owning, then piracy is not theft. Chandni, what do you reckon about that?
Well, I think we've always rented things. We rent homes. There's, you know, you can rent a fridge. So if we think of it in that model and you are paying for what you're leasing out, basically, whether it's leasing out a bit of music that you want to hear or a bit of or the streaming service that you want to, I think there is that balance. I The issue becomes is when it's actually really difficult to cancel. And one of the things we've done through our research, we found out that even if you just lost $5 on your subscriptions that you've been unable to cancel, and because of these deceptive tricks, Australians are probably losing out something like $46 million a year. And that's not fair for them, because we've seen that even, you know, there's 1 in 10 people who will particularly just give up cancelling because the process is too difficult. So it's the making it as easy as is to subscribe as it is to cancel. That's where we need to be focusing on. The model itself, it is a model, a business model, and it's most likely here to say, is to stay. We had Kristen just say how exceptional it is to be able to have those coffee beans delivered to your door. So the model is here to stay. It's about how it works for people and how it treats them fairly, especially when they want to move out of it.
I should also say my gun-shy executive producer has told me to say Life Matters does not endorse piracy. I was just reading out a text. So, Chandni, looking at the surveys that you've done with Australians, what do Australians want?
So what Australians want, I think it's so clear and simple, and in other countries it's actually almost been codified. Make it as simple to leave as it is to opt in. That's it. And what we found is 90% of Australians would happily re-engage with the business if cancellation was easy. And I think so it's not just about good ethics, it's actually good business sense to be shifting your model away from these deceptive practices into making it really seamless for people to leave their subscriptions and not use those tactics like the one we've seen in one of our in our research where they'll ask you why you've actually left, why you're leaving or cancelling. And it doesn't matter what you pick because the next screen is going to be the same. So we tested it with it costs too much or I don't want it anymore to I'm having a technical problem. Mm. All three of them led to the same thing, which was this tiny discount offer that came for like a couple of months, only for then to the premium price to go up. What they're doing is trying to delay your subscription cancellation as opposed to respecting your choice that you actually no longer want the subscription at this time.
So you're asking for legal change to mirror what we're seeing in other countries?
Ideally, what we've got at the moment is the situation where you could be using the same service on the same platform, but someone in Melbourne has less protections than someone sitting in Munich. And that's deeply unfair when you're probably streaming and listening to the same things. What we need is a law against unfair business practices. And the good news is that the government currently has committed to it. And what we need to see is it now in action, and hopefully it is introduced soon. And what that will mean is hopefully these subscriptions, they will still exist, but it will be much easier to cancel out of them.
On the text line, you're telling me your subscription unsubscribing hacks. One says AI is great at giving instructions when you can't figure out how to cancel a subscription. They're often hidden away, but AI knows all. Another person says dedicate a credit card to subscriptions only, then simply don't leave enough money in it when you want to unsubscribe. Another says top tip for subscriptions, put them on a credit card every 12 months, cancel that card and get a new card issued. Then when you get the alerts, decide if you want to renew. Kirsten, do you have top tips for how to keep track of subscriptions beyond your calendar reminder hack?
That's the main one for me. But I did notice recently that my my internet banking does an automatic thing now where it categorises a lot of the transactions. And I found that really helpful because there's a category for subscriptions. So when I look at the transactions that have happened in the last month or so, I can see, oh, I totally forgot about that one. You know, that one's coming off. And because the bank's organised it that way for me, that can be a good way to keep track.
Another text says, I had an elderly friend believe that simply deleting the streaming app on his smartphone would end his subscription. After months of being billed, he approached me as a younger millennial friend, and it took me 2 minutes to end his subscription properly. Unfortunately, there's a generation being deceived by their devices and not fully understanding the difference between an application and its subscription. So, Chandni, what should people consider when they're looking at signing up?
I think one of the things is, you know, the credit card issue that a lot of people mentioned, that is something to really take heed of, because what we have now in credit cards is a continuous payment authority, which means that if your credit card expires, technically the number doesn't change, and there's an authority there for anything that is continued on for, such as subscriptions, can be taken off. So being really mindful of what you're using. I love that tip about using a gift card.
Yeah.
And we often recommend that for kids, especially if kids are using a particular service that has money, that involves money being taken out. But the tips that have already been discussed are the ones we often recommend, that you cancel as soon as you sign up, because most will actually honor the time period, and that you put reminders in. But the thing is, that mental load should not be on you as an individual. We actually need to create a fairer system here where people don't have to ask their younger millennial friend to cancel a subscription. It should just be easy to do. It already happens across the EU, even in the US. There's no reason for it to not happen in Australia.
Chandni, Kirsten, thank you both so much for joining me. Chandni Gupta is Deputy CEO and Digital Policy Director at the Consumer Policy Research Centre. And Kirsten Drysdale is an independent journalist and host of The Internet Reviewed on YouTube.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.